Good morning. I'm good, thanks. I do a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bible class is about to begin.
Warning to rich oppressors last week. And it was important, and I think we brought it out nicely, that the second we say, well, this isn't addressed to me, I don't need to worry about that, this is somebody else's sin, I think that's when we find ourselves in the danger of falling the most. And so, again, this is our time for us to apply this warning to each one of us, because we all have something that if we leave it unchecked, it's going to come between us and our relationship with God. And then it's going to come between us and our relationship with our brothers and sisters, and we won't be able to love him, and we won't be able to love our neighbor the way that we want to, and the way that God has enabled us to do. So we pounded through the hard part last time. We worked our way through the section. I'll give it a read, and then we can divide into groups again, take 15 minutes or so to discuss them, and then we'll come back together as a group and see what we need to take away from the section. So the text is on the top of page 2, if you want to follow along. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. So we also went back and we realized this is what happens when we start listening to worldly wisdom, when we start listening to our own sinful hearts. It showed up in the way that they were treating people back then. It showed up in the way that they were talking, because their words were exposing what was going on in their hearts. And so this is just one more expression of the simple nature that James says, will you please look out for this? And if you see even a hint of it in your life, he says, weep, wail, and get rid of it, because these people weren't. Whether these were people within his congregation or they were people outside the church who were oppressing the people in the church, regardless, one more thing, James says, watch out for this, because it gets in the way of you and loving God and the way of you and loving your neighbor. We need to dig into page 3, is where we're going to pick up this morning. We left it with number 7, which were comforting words that God knows. You know, sometimes it looks like people who are oppressing other people, they get away with it, and God never does anything, and God leaves us all helpless, with no way to deal with it. Not true. Psalm 73 reminded us that even this is in the Lord's hand and that he remembers his faithful people. So we have that encouragement going into this discussion. Let's break these up again. We'll just go by rows, and you can either ponder it by yourself if you want to, or you can Tap into the people around you. It's completely up to you how you would like to do this. See, there are 10 of them. We are on discussion, number one, on page 3.
Is it the lesson 8 or 9?
Oh, lesson 9.
Oh, okay.
That's
what I thought.
Okay.
You want to
share? Lesson 8 was good, too. Lesson 9, page 3, 4, discussion. So there are 10 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How about the first two rows? Do numbers 1 and 2. And then these two rows, take a look at 3 and 4. And again, you can go solo or you can squeeze together and discuss it. And we'll do number 5. Your rows, number 5. 6 and 7, 8, and then we'll take a peek at 9 and 10 together.
Thank you.
copy. All right. You're welcome. I have four more copies if anybody would like one. You're welcome. 3-4. I am getting the vibe that we're about done. So take 1 minute, and if you need to get back on task, get back on task, and then we can discuss these together. All right, let's get our discussion going. If you were assigned the question, then you get first shot at it. And then after we're done, if you have more to add, then please feel free to chime in as well. So number one, agree, disagree. It is better to be poor than to be rich. That's what we're gonna do. She said, that's debatable. Well, that's what we're gonna do. So we need to define some terms. All right, what do we mean by poor?
In reference to the text or the word?
How about in reference to the text?
Good point.
Well, the poor were more like the laborers and they depended on other people. They were under the rich people, and they depended on their wages from the rich.
Right. So they were dependent on people who had more to pay them, people to hire them.
Right.
Okay. And do you remember what the rich were doing, at least in this instance?
If they didn't get paid back, they would put them in prison.
Okay, they had that right and that authority to do that. They could drag you to court by the neck and get their payment? What about here in James chapter 5? What example did James give about how they were being treated?
They weren't even giving them their
payment. They weren't paying their wages. Yeah. And so there they would get hired and they wouldn't get paid. And nobody thought that was a bad deal. Except the poor person, probably. Yeah. So go based on that, was it better to be rich or poor if that's what was going on?
It's obviously better to be rich at that point because you're not just still making money. But that's material this world. Does that get you anything in heaven? Generally gets you kicked out. You don't get to enter that point. So, you know, maybe it's good to be rich, but what do you do with your riches? It's probably more important than what the value is. Yeah.
I think that's a pretty important statement. It's more what you do with what you have, not so much what you have, but what you do with it, how you view it, whether you let it come between you and God, whether it's the fact that you have nothing and that comes between you and God, or you have everything and that comes between you and God, and how it leads you to treat people. Well, John and then Ann.
I think that to what my grandmother told me who lived through the Depression. She said during the Depression, when the stock market crashed and people lost all their money and wealth and stuff, the folks that were really upset by it were the rich people. They were the ones committing suicide because they lost their possessions, the only thing that meant something to them. And the people that were materialistically considered poor, it was same old, there was no difference. So in a sense that when once you rely on wealth, if that wealth disappears for any reason, then your dependence on it will be devastating towards you. So you're better off being poor than that.
Yeah,
and then the reference in the Bible about the widow's mite. In other words, she didn't have anything in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then she gave what she had. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can. She used the example of the widow's mite. You can always worship God with what you do have. Okay?
Yeah. You can't be so involved in being poor that all you think about is money, which is the same as if you're very wealthy and all you think about is money. And it can cause you to, where your treasure is, there where your heart is. It's either end. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
Okay? There's always something that can come between you and God. Whether it's dwelling on the fact, like you said, that I have nothing or I have everything. Good point.
Yeah, too often when we talk these things, we make the poor into be great, wonderful people. They can be just as much a stinker as the rich guy. If you've got a rotten person, you've got a rotten person that you've got to deal with. It doesn't matter whether rich or poor. The only thing, the biggest problem with the wealthy is that the wealth can get in their way of seeing or making sure that they understand they are the beneficiary. They're the beneficiary of it, not the benefactor necessarily. And that it's still always the Lord who's the benefactor to you.
Yes, Fred, and then Ed.
Well, according to Luke 12,
good. Absolutely. And that kind of came, how are we defining these terms? If we're defining them in terms of rich toward God, then being rich toward God is better than being poor in God. And you can be rich in God regardless of what you have or don't. Yes, Ed.
Well, the nice thing about what John said about poverty in the last century around the Depression, people didn't know they were poor. And they just grew up that way. They were happy. They would have liked to probably have more, but they worked hard. And I think you had a really good
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Every generation is going to have its challenges, right? Okay, Fred, you want to wrap it up for us?
Well, I think more along with it, so I think it's vital how you compare yourself to others. Because if I grew up in Charlotte, we lived right next to the ancient road. We built little cottages, little smaller houses next to these huge houses, and we felt poor because we obviously were worn out with the house. But later, this neighborhood, as we found, actually, they put a lot of things in the pension of our flock that grew up on, and that's actually become a kind of a wealth area, too. So it's all a matter of what you mean, you know, compared to who or what.
Yeah. And probably letting God tell us what being rich is rather than letting the who or what tell us what we do or don't have and why that should matter. Any Bible passages come to mind as we're having this discussion? You know, one that's kind of, oh, yeah.
Matthew 6:19, don't store up treasures here on earth with moths eat them and this is perfect.
Okay.
Moths eat them and rust destroys them where thieves break them and steal. Store treasures up in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a good reminder, whether you have a lot or a little, store up treasures in heaven. Good. Another one, it's fun to throw around when you open the door for somebody at church from Psalm 84. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know, so it's better to be a servant in God's house than be rich and not have God at all. Dan?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe there's bigger, better things. Yeah. St. Paul talking about how he knew what it is like to be rich and to be popular and to be powerful when he was a Pharisee. And he also knew what it was like to have nothing. But then he said, you know, he learned to be content in all situations, no matter what was going on. And I think contentment is being rich toward God, too, when you are content with what you have. No. All right, we beat that one up good. Number two, agree or disagree. Materialism is one of the greatest temptations facing 21st century Christians in America. I heard an oh, yeah. Can you elaborate on oh, yeah?
Our society, like the stock market, for instance. Put everything you can away for the future. Well, the future is now. God's working our hearts and minds and in the world. He needs to be focused on the here and now. He's got everything taken care of in the future. That's his promise to us. And I'm not saying don't put away for the future, because obviously thing to do, but I think what we've come to is that it's too much, and too much is getting put away and not enough put to work. And for example, to make this quick, if you want to look at it from a numbers standpoint, you could, what's the stock market worth? How many trillions of dollars? Great. How much do we all owe? How many trillions of dollars do we owe? We're borrowing to save, we're borrowing to invest, and we're not paying anything back.
It can be a dangerous thing. Yeah. I was chatting with a friend who was reflecting on something that happened in his life, and it was, you know, about saving, investing for the future, and then just like the parable of the rich fool, what if God calls you home first, and you have all this stuff? You know, you did everything quote-unquote right. You invested just right, you had the best this, or you had the right plan in place, and then you pass away, and then what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. So materialism, 21st century, is what we're talking about. Challenge or no?
Well, the big challenge is everybody, and I'm almost, everybody pushes materialism on you. The U.S. government wants you to spend whatever you have, so the gross domestic product goes up. You turn on the TV, every commercial says that you need whatever they're selling, no matter what, and you need it more than whatever the other guy's selling. You're doesn't have anything to do with God's word.
Yes.
I think I heard this week a gentleman say that it's God's money anyway. So even if you make wealth and you give it away, you provide it for good things, there shouldn't be a problem or there shouldn't be an issue with doing that, like you were saying, investing for the future, where you take and you provide the right portions to charity and to the church and to God's work, in addition to the talents that you have been given, the skills and working and providing and helping. There's all kinds of ways that we can do that.
Yeah. And materialism gets in the way of all of it, doesn't it?
No, not if you have the right mindset.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you don't have the right mindset, then it can stand in between you and the joy of living your whole life, giving your whole self to God.
Right.
Exactly. I think your point was very well made. Yes?
If you've never been to what we would call a third world country, and see what we would call abject poverty, and meet the people who are much happier than our people, who have got everything but the, you know, the second set of Nike shoes that they don't need, that are $200 and something, and they're going through this, it's amazing. I mean, you give those people a little something and they think you're the greatest thing in the world. And it's, you know, it's sad. We sit there and we waste more than some of those people get, you know, like in a year, we'll say. We can waste in a week in this country. So, yes, materialism is a problem, especially if you allow it to get to rule your life.
Yeah, materialism is not a new thing. So you are God's people, and God just brought you out of Egypt. How much money do you have?
Depends on how much you were able to carry.
Oh, that's not true.
No, they had jewelry and other things.
That's, no, more than that.
They
had all the gold and silver of the Egyptians. They robbed the Egyptians blind. God gave it all to them. And then you're Achan, and what do you do? What do you do?
Well, you steal some of it and bury it.
Yeah. You think, boy, look at what God has given us, and look at what he's promised us. He's going to put us in this land and take care of us forever. Boy, I wish I had a few new nice sets of clothes. I wish I had a little bit more gold, a little bit more silver. And he took it. So it is nothing new when we have all these warnings and all these encouragements. And just be on guard for materialism. And don't feel bad about what you have. Like, that's the other side of it. It's a gift from God. It all comes from him, was the comment that was made. It all serves a good purpose until we let it get out of control. You know, whether you have $5 or $500, it doesn't matter. And so these are just warnings, and it's not a warning for the other guy. It's a warning for each one of us. Look out for materialism. You know, and just materialism shows itself in these forms. What did you write down? Right around here? Did you guys have this one? Yeah, lots of stuff, yes.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's where it starts to become an issue. No regard for the word because you're too busy getting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I think a lot of it is marketing. And I think it's affecting relationships because sometimes people marry someone with status.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, marketing is powerful. You know, marketing has come up again. Yeah, I agree. You want to talk about that one? Okay. Number four. Agree or disagree? Most people in our society are wealthy because of the way they have exploited others. And now, let's not call out any corporation or just, let's talk about the general principle. People in society are wealthy because of the way they have exploited other people.
Not necessarily. A lot of people have great ideas that make them money.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. You just have to remember where your treasure is, that's where your heart is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some people are working hard, and boy, that's almost biblical, isn't it? To use everything to glorify God in everything that you do? Yeah. Yes, Mike.
Disagree. I mean, it's hard to know percentages, but not all people who are successful in business are exploited and mean-spirited. I work for a company who's family-owned and very open. That's very well. He's out there among the employees around all of the West Kansas where he has his business, from the distribution center I work at, or the business, to Oyster Farms he has around the coast. He's very down to earth guy.
Okay.
So,
I think the temptation's there, though, isn't it? To think, boy, if I would just do this, and to use the example brought up in here, if I just pay these people less than what I told them, you know, they have no way of coming after me, and I can get away with that, and then I can have more. You can see how tempting that is. So I think it's definitely a concern, but there, praise God that there are a lot of really good people, you know, who do a lot of good things with what they've been blessed with. But the temptation is always going to be there, and there are, you know, people who will take advantage of it too and will exploit people. And again, make sure that, you know, even if it's just on a very low level as far as compared to, you know, someone else, always make sure that we're talking about what's going on in our hearts first. So there's a hand back there. Fred and then Dave.
Well, I think it boils down to the bottom line is, who are you serving? Are you serving yourself or are you serving, you know, God? If you're serving God, then that's the
sure. Jesus said you can't serve both God and whatever it is you're pursuing. Good. Dave?
That there's a show on, I'm sure most people have seen it, Undercover Boss.
Oh, yeah.
Where the boss goes and works with the people. And I don't know if it's all true, but it shows that there are probably some bosses who really do reward their people well. And it's usually a tearjerker when he finally reveals himself to the people, but it's, I mean, it does show that there are people who are still do good things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Christian show.
No, yeah. Sam, then.
I'm thinking, and maybe I'm just thinking, there's biblical examples. There is a biblical example of a business that paid the same wage to the person who started in the morning as they were paying the wage for the person who started at noon or 3 o'clock. And that's an example. There's probably corporations or businesses in today's time that pay a fair wage for their workers. So we can talk about exploiting, but there's also those that are helping or providing more than a fair wage to some of their workers, because that's the example that we're given in the scriptures.
Okay.
You're saying
the parable that
saying.
No, the parable that he's referring to, some guys started in the morning, some at noon, some in the afternoon, and they all got paid the same. And there the point Jesus is teaching is, you know, don't look down on someone who comes to faith on their deathbed as if somehow they are not deserving of heaven, and you are, because you are a Christian your whole life, and how does this guy skate into heaven? You know, so the point is, God's grace is God's grace. And so if you see that, then say, well, you know, God gives freely to everyone, and, you know, praise God when other people do the same.
Sure.
Too. Yeah. Steve, then we'll move on.
I remember I was working for one of the companies that I was working at that point, and we had a person who was very sick and was going to be a very expensive claim, and my boss said, see what you can do to delay it so we don't have to pay out the big money. My answer was, yes, I'll be glad to put it in writing. He said, you're fired. I said, fine. I sent it to the president, and guess who got fired? Wasn't me. You don't, you know, that's a person that you want out because they're doing the wrong thing. And, you know, can you live with that? No, I mean, I knew when I told them to put it in writing, I would have like that. But you've got to be able to live with yourself in doing these things. Some people can live with themselves being that way, and that's sad.
I know there's, and we're not going to get into it now, but I think there is something to be said. How can you be a savvy business person in this world and be a Christian? You know, if you buy someone out or if there's some sort of strategic takeover, I don't know. I'm talking way out of my realm of knowledge. But I think as long as you can answer to God for the decision that you made, you know, that's got to be your guiding principle. And I can see how very easily you would have to leave him behind to do what you want to do. But being successful is also a blessing from God. So most people in our society are wealthy because of the way they have exploited. Some have, and praise God for the good examples of those who haven't. And when we have a chance to be generous, you know, by all means. Number 5, agree or disagree. It is okay for a Christian laborer to strike if his wages are not at the level he feels they should be at. Let's move through this one quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this one. What do you think? Who had this one? Okay.
Most people agree to work for the salary when they take the job. And we didn't like the word feels that they should have. I mean, it goes back to being hired at the beginning of the day and being hired at the end of the day, and they agreed to work for the wages that they had. So, you know, we said, you know, in that case, no, striking would not be okay.
Isn't it really a case of greed, whether it's greed on the part of the worker or greed on the part of the employer? And it shouldn't surprise us that sin can do bad things there too.
Yes. Well, unions were really good things at one time because they worked for the worker. But then the unions got big and now they're not very nice.
Fine. Everybody faces unique challenges in your own unique, specific situation in life. Absolutely. Yes?
Yeah, I really wanted to strike when they said make more bricks without straw. But God stepped in and managed the situation.
When the time was right, right?
But, yeah, I wasn't really there.
By faith we were.
Number
6 assumes it is so difficult for rich people to be saved. What'd you talk about?
Yes.
And we'll come back to that.
Well, it referred to the example of Matthew 9, or the quote from Jesus in Matthew 19:24, that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. And I know in the past, I've heard people say, oh, well, there's this gate in Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle, and the camel had to, you know, duck down to go through. So it's really hard, but not impossible. But then I went back and looked at the Concordia notes on it, and it's saying when you talk about the camel, you're talking about the largest animal in Palestine, and the Eye of the Needle is the smallest hole that you would ever try to put anything through. And it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. So it's saying that without God's help, there is no way any of us, whether you're rich or poor, can get into heaven. No matter how big the hole is. You know, even if the hole was twice the size of a camel, you still couldn't get it through if God wasn't the one that got you through.
Good. Yes.
Not necessarily well in terms of assets that you have, but also you have so much blessings overall. And now
done that. God got us there. And I just see people on Facebook who think we're basically no things. And they did it. God's stupid.
Yeah, you know, and if that's your identity, if your identity is your wealth and is your stuff, and you have no time for God and you don't identify as a Christian, then yeah, it's impossible. But I like the comment that with God's grace, that, you know, no heart is too cold for the gospel to do its job. Yes?
So this is kind of an aside note to Matthew 19, like it's talking about.
More of an archaeologist.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think the point is not right. The point is not to go to Jerusalem and find a gate and could you stick a camel through it. The point is, if this is characteristic of you, then you've allowed something to come between you and God, and you are in serious danger. You know, again, whether it's, you know, 5 shekels or 500, if it comes between you and God, it is impossible for you to enter heaven. Because you've made another God for yourself. Not to say that there's nothing to archaeology and getting to, you know, know the Holy Land better. Yes, Dick.
Whatever has captured your heart, whether it's wealth or children or whatever, is your God.
Mm-hmm. Even if you love your son or daughter more than me, Jesus said. So it's not just a warning again for the other guy. It's always a warning for here. Agree or disagree, we should consider ourselves rich people. There's an agree. How come?
If you compare yourself with the rest of the world, that there's nothing we can accumulate, pretty much accumulate or have or be a part of. Like the comment was made about third world people, they have really have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love to have things we throw away.
Okay, good point. Yes?
We have the wealth of eternity in heaven. Mm-hmm. We can't even afford to pay for it.
Yeah. And the best news is you don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, we have, you know, eternity in heaven. And we don't have the wealth to pay for it, but we get it anyway. Yes?
I was going to say this basically the same thing. We have the Word of God given to us. We're very rich. Whether it's, you don't have to be materialistically rich to be rich. Mm-hmm. We've been blessed.
Yeah, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? You know, the answer is no one. And he doesn't even want you to repay him. He takes great satisfaction in loving you and lavishing his love on you and providing. We had a seminary professor who talked about creaturely needs. You know, God made you. He knows that you have creaturely needs. And he promises to give you all your creaturely needs. He's probably giving you more than just your basics. So there's lots of different ways of looking at this question. Yes.
Brings up something I've thought about frequently, and that is where God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Can we say that we are blessed because we are blessed by God because of the word and the gospel we have? And by saying that, what I'm doing is I'm saying the people who don't have the gospel don't have these benefits.
Yeah.
You look at the heathen nations do not have the benefits that we have as Christians. So is that an example of where God is blessing those who have the word and appreciate the word?
Well, we need to be careful that we don't take, you know, we need to let all the scriptural principles stand as they are. In the Old Testament, God said, I'm going to put you in this land. And as long as you are faithful to me, you are going to be filthy rich people. And none of the nations are going to come and conquer you, and I will bless you physically. They have that promise. Today, generally speaking, when people are living Christian values, things go pretty good. Things go pretty well. And it's a general principle that if you are working hard, then, yeah, things will go pretty well for you. But we also live in a sinful world. And so bad things are going to happen even to the most faithful of people. And it's dangerous when we say, boy, if, you know, if we're only a stronger Christian nation, then this would happen. God doesn't say that. He does bless hard work, and sometimes it's not always with money. Sometimes it's just knowing that you serve God today in what you did. Yes?
If you're living a Christian life, if everything does pretty much, I think that's what you said, if everything goes well with you, pretty much.
Yes and no, but I didn't quite say it like that. It's a general principle. When you are doing what you do to glorify God, you're being honest, you know, you're working hard. Generally speaking, things go pretty well. You know, it's like the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. Because generally speaking, when you honor your mom and dad at home, things are good. Generally speaking, when you're honoring the laws of the land, things are pretty good for you. There's no financial blessing attached to any of that.
Location, location, location. If you're living in an Islamic country, you're living the Christian life, and it ain't going good for you.
Right. Or is it?
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty relative. You know, if you get to live for God in a land where you're persecuted, and then someone cuts your head off and you get to go to heaven, you know?
I guess.
Right. I think we need to get over the fact, we need to deal with the fact that God's not always going to give us a good, happy life.
But the Christians over there living here all the time. Right.
It's relative, isn't it?
I think he gives us the ability to be content, which is something that he says we are to be, no matter what we have or where we are. And he does give us the grace and the ability to be content with what we have, if we're walking with
him. Yeah, biblical principles do not stand in contention of each other. They all speak the truth, and they're all very confident. Yes? Did you have a question or a point?
To me, the bottom line is that God chose unconditional love by Jesus, his ultimate sacrifice on the cross, and that love is the cost of anything. So, if Jesus said love is the greatest commandment, so love is free, you know? And that totally transcends materialism, and forgiveness transcends materialism. It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, Peter's going to tell us not with gold or silver in the second lesson for today. Little heads up for worship. How can wealth become an asset to a Christian? Let's make it positive. This is probably in the back. Were you discussing this one, number 8? Yes.
The ability to go with God.
What's the connection there?
More resources to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a neat blessing to be able to go with the gospel, to have some financial resources and then use those to grow the kingdom of God, or at least to be about our Father's business. That's a great way to use some of it. How else can wealth become an asset to a Christian?
When we see it as a responsibility and that we are stewards of what God has laid before us.
To do what way?
To serve the gospel, to spread the word, to meet the need, on a basic level, to meet the needs of our family and to meet the needs of our Christian family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an asset. It's a blessing to be able to provide for people who are dependent on you. It's a blessing to be able to have this little slice of Christendom right here and to operate in God's name and to go with the gospel. It's huge. It's not impossible without financial blessing, but it's an asset. Yeah. He was saying everything is God's in the first place, so to have the opportunity to give some back to him, it's a blessing. We should wrap it up. We'll come back and we'll take number 9 and 10 in 2 weeks, because next week you're all going to come and support the confirmands, as we'll have them, they will witness to you and they'll say, we believe the same thing you do, we want to commune with you, and then we'll be able to celebrate and welcome them into membership. So the examination is next Sunday, and then we will finish up this one, and then we'll keep pressing on in the book of James. God bless your worship if you haven't been to church yet, and may he continue to strengthen you through the message that he did share with you if you were here before.